to quarters. Run out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside into her, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's indomitable man of the sea, Horatio Hornblower.
On the quarterdeck with my telescope trained towards Algeciras for more than an hour. It was a strange situation that major naval bases of Spain and England should be no more than 6 miles apart. And it was well to keep close watch on Algeciras, for at any moment a squadron of Spaniards might push out suddenly and pounce on us. But we reached Gibraltar without incident, and Captain Pellew left the ship to pay his respects to the port admiral. When he returned, he sent for me in his cabin. As I went below, I wondered nervously what crimes I had committed.
Come in.
Acting Lieutenant Hornblower, sir?
Ah, Mr. Hornblower. Acting Lieutenant, eh? You like that title?
Sufficiently well, sir.
Better than midshipman, eh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Still, not so good as Lieutenant, eh?
No, sir.
Well, Mr. Hornblower, then you ought to consider this good news. There will be an examination for Lieutenant tomorrow, Captain's Board. What do you think of that, eh?
Well, I'm certainly interested, sir.
Of course you are. The examination will be held aboard the old prison hulk over there, the Santa Barbara. You are ready to take it, I hope, Mr. Hornblower?
Well,
Are you?
Yes.
Let's see. You have held my order as acting lieutenant for 2 months now. Is that right?
Perfect, sir.
If you pass this examination, why then the day after tomorrow you will be a full lieutenant with no nonsense about it. And you'll have 2 months seniority.
Well, it sounds wonderful, sir, but...
But what?
Well, nothing, sir. I was just thinking what would happen if I should fail.
You would revert to midshipman, naturally. And you'd lose about 8 months of seniority. Because it'd be 6 months at least before you could try again.
Yes, I know that, sir.
Well, well. You say you do feel ready for this examination?
Well, yes.
Very well, then. A report to the Santa Barbara at 3 p.m. tomorrow with your certificates and journals.
Aye, aye, sir.
Tell Mr. Bolton you have my permission to go. You may use one of the ship's boats.
Thank you, sir.
That's all. Oh, and, by the way...
Yes, sir?
Good luck, Hornblower.
I wished that I could be as confident of the examination as I pretended. The truth was, I hadn't expected it to come so soon. Well, there was nothing for it then but to get out Norrie's Epitome of Navigation and Clark's Complete Handbook of Seamanship and try in the next 24 hours to be up on everything in those two thick volumes. And there were other things to be attended to besides. And my friend, Midshipman Jack Brace, never let me forget them.
Shoes.
Hmm? What's that, Brace?
I said shoes.
Oh, look,
trigonometry is difficult enough without your going cryptic on me, Bracemore boy. What do you mean?
You'll have to wear your buckled shoes, remember?
Oh, good heavens, that's true.
Well, chuck them to me, Laddiebuck. I'll go to the gunroom and get them polished.
So he took my shoes, and I went back to my navigation. It was a long time before Brace came back.
Here, take this.
Hmm? What's that?
My clean shirt. You don't own a clean one, do you, Ned Hornblower?
Oh, thanks very much.
Not at all.
What about my shoes?
Oh, well, don't worry.
Oh, Great Neptune, haven't you got them polished yet?
The gunroom supply of shoe blacking is dried to a chip.
Oh, no.
That's all right. I had two of the men work it soft with lard.
Oh, well, then.
Unfortunately, the resultant compound stubbornly refuses to take a polish.
Well, then, God, what am I to do, man?
I have two men now at work with the gunroom's molding shoe brush. When they're through with that, they'll use a soft cloth. Now, don't worry. We'll bring your shoes up to a condition of brightness worthy of an examination for Lieutenant.
I was by no means satisfied with what I knew of navigation, but I did have to close that book and start on the handbook of seamanship. And oh, I felt so abysmally ignorant. Jack Brace's interruptions at least served the purpose of taking my mind off my desperate lack of knowledge.
Bridges.
What are you talking about this time, Brace? Bridges?
Hey, give me the bridges to your number one uniform.
Oh?
I'll have them prepped for you.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jack.
Now, don't mention it, Laddiebuck.
The words in the complete handbook of seamanship began, after a while, to dance before my eyes. They seemed completely meaningless to my befuddled brain. It was as if from a great distance that sometime later I again heard the voice of Midshipman Brace.
Liquor.
What's that? What did you say?
I said liquor, your spirit ration from the British Navy. Give it to me quickly. You haven't drunk it, have you?
No.
Oh, well, then trot it out. Look sharp.
Why?
So that the gunroom attendant will be able to press your breeches.
What, is he going to press them with a tin cup half full of rum?
Oh, of course not. The liquor's for the warrant cook.
Oh, why should he have my rum ration?
Because if the gunroom attendant is to press your breeches, he has to heat a flat iron in the galley.
Oh.
Well, the cook won't allow him to do that without some payment and...
All right. There's today's spirit ration over there. I was keeping it till later.
If you want to be a lieutenant, you have to make sacrifices, Hornblower.
It went on like that through the afternoon, and most of the night, and all of the next morning. And by the end of that time, I was turning rather frantically from Norrie's text to Clark's and back again to Norrie's navigation. The only question in my mind was which one baffled me more. Finally, the boat was ready to carry me to the Santa Barbara. I'd made myself resplendent with my sword and white breeches and buckled shoes, my bundle of journals under my arm, my certificates of sobriety and good conduct in my pocket. Brace had only one last word of advice.
Your hat. I couldn't get the dents out of it.
What?
Well, take it off as soon as you can and keep it under your arm. Maybe they won't see you come up the ship's side.
When I got aboard the Santa Barbara, I was directed aft to a portside cabin. And when I entered that cabin, my heart sank down to those buckled shoes. For there was a whole cabin full of other midshipmen, all of them dressed like myself, all of them ready to take that examination. One of them spoke to me.
Welcome to the Black Hole of Calcutta.
Oh, for the love of... How many are there here, anyhow?
You're the 40th.
40? How many will they pass, do you think? Five?
I doubt it. Do you know who's examining us?
No.
Dreadnought Foster, for one.
Oh, no, he's a tail twister if ever there was one.
And Captain Harvey of the dockyard.
Don't know him.
You wouldn't want to.
Well, who's the third?
I don't like to tell you.
Well, I don't like to have you tell me, then. But you might as well. Come on.
Black Charlie Hammond.
Oh, Lord. Oh, he's almost as bad as Dreadnought Foster, isn't he?
Yes. He passed through here looking as if he'd lost a guinea and found sixpence.
Ah.
Well, we may as well sit here and wait our turn, but much good it'll do us.
We waited. The first man came back from his examination, which he had failed, and informed us that they began by asking him to define a rum line. 39 midshipmen had their textbooks open on the instant and reread about rum lines. Candidates departed and candidates returned. Most gloomy, some smiling. The afternoon wore on. Twilight came, Night came. And finally, my new friend left. And 10 minutes later, he was back. He had failed. It was my turn now. I straightened my neckcloth and saw to it that my sword hung correctly at my side. In an agony of nervousness, I went into the examining room to stand before the three grim faces across the table.
Well, sir, report yourself. We have no time to waste.
Hornblower, sir. Horatio Hornblower, midshipman. Acting lieutenant, HMS Indefatigable, sir.
Your certificates, please.
Yes,
they're in order.
You're a close hold on the port tack, Mr. Hornblower. Beating up channel with a northeasterly wind blowing hard, with Dover bearing north 2 miles. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Now the wind veers 4 points and takes you flat aback. What do you do, sir? What do you do?
No rum lines.
Yeah, what's that?
Nothing, sir.
What do you do? Quickly.
Well,
By now you're dismasted. Dismasted with the Dover cliffs under your lee.
Well, sir, you're in serious trouble, Mr. Hornblower.
Well, sir, I think that, did you say 4 points, sir? Because if it were...
That's gunfire out there.
Cannon! Come on, let's get back to our ships.
Unceremoniously, they rushed out of the cabin, sweeping aside the sentry at the door. I followed them, and with the three captains, I arrived in the waist, just in time to see a rocket soar up into the night sky, placed in a shower of red stars.
Wait, it's the general alarm.
Fire ships.
Fire ships.
Observe the watch. Call my gig.
Huh? You don't expect to find a gig now, do you, Hammond?
All our ships in the harbor beat to quarters. Across half a mile of dark water, a yellow light grew. Ships wrapped in flame. A line of fire ships was running before the wind, straight into our crowded anchorage. Let one of those blazing hulls make contact with one of our vessels, and instantly the fire will be transmitted to the dry-painted timber, to the tarred cordage, to the inflammable sails. To men in highly combustible ships filled with explosives, fire is the deadliest and most dreaded peril of the sea. And this was the peril we all faced now.
Use your boat there! Use your boat! Come alongside! Come alongside, confound you!
Come alongside or I'll fire at you! Sentry there, make ready to get on the top.
That is the way to bring in Captain Foster. He's coming.
Here are, gentlemen. We'll tell this slugger man where to take us.
Back to our own ships, instantly. Come on, gentlemen.
The three captains ran to the mizzen chains and flung themselves down into the boat. I was right at their heels. It was my bounden duty to get back to my ship as soon as possible. But then I knew there was no chance of a junior officer's finding a boat to take him back. Perhaps after the captains reached their ships, if they reached them, well, I could do the same, perhaps. I threw myself in as they pushed off, nearly knocking the breath out of Captain Harvey.
Sir, I didn't mean to knock into you, sir.
Well, young man, where are you going?
Well, I should go to the Indefatigable, sir. After you're all conveyed to your ships, of course.
Well, Osborne, row, can't you? This is no time to sit there gaping. Pull away.
Where to? I'm not in the Navy. I'm a British civilian.
Pull for my ship, the Dreadnought.
No, no. Look here, Captain Foster. I'm the senior. Pull for the Calypso, and at once.
But the Dreadnought's nearer. I'm
saying, woman.
Please, we must get started. Calypso it is. But pull, Osmond, pull. I have the tiller.
With me in a boat in Gibraltar Harbor in the middle of a dangerous action. And my companions were a reluctant oarsman and the three captains of the captain's board. Their tempers had not markedly improved.
Pull! Oh, pull! My ship's in danger.
I suppose you don't think that mine is too, Foster.
Look, sirs,
Look, there's one of the fire ships now, sir.
Where?
But just out of us, sir, over there.
She's swinging round. She's across Santa Barbara's cable.
She's going to ram the Santa Barbara.
Heaven help her on board there.
Oh, sir, the old Santa Barbara has 2,000 prisoners battened down below decks, hasn't she?
That fire ship will be alongside her any minute.
Sir, with a man at the wheel of a fire ship, she could be steered clear. Don't you think, sir?
We ought to do it. Put the tiller over, Captain Harvey.
Over it is.
Now pull.
You oarsman. He said pull.
I don't want to.
Watch that, you say?
If I pull alongside that fire ship, we'll all go up in smoke.
Your sword, Hammond.
Yeah?
Now, you oarsman. You see this sword? Now pull. Pull. Pull.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Play us under her counter. I'll jump for it.
Let me go, Captain Foster, sir. I'll handle her.
Come with me if you like, Hornblower.
Thank you, sir.
May need two of us.
Our boat swung under the stern of the fireship. She was before the wind again now, and just gathering way, just heading down upon the Santa Barbara. I stood up on the thwart and jumped. My hands gripped something, and with a kick and a struggle, I dragged myself up onto the empty deck. Captain Foster followed. With the brig before the wind, the flames were blown forward. Right aft where we were, the heat was terrifying. I ran forward to the wheel. It was lashed with a loop of line, and as I cast this off and seized the spokes, I could feel the rudder below me bite into the water.
We're going to collide with the Santa Barbara. Hard over!
Hard over it is, sir.
Lee over, flames coming this way. But hold on to that wheel.
I've got her, sir.
Hard a lee!
But she's turning, sir.
Keep her over. We might still ram.
We're going to pass the Santa Barbara, sir. We're going to pass her. We did it, sir. We did it.
Down on your knees. But hold that course. Hold. Starboard a point.
Starboard a point, it is, sir.
We'll lay her aground on the shoulder of the neutral zone.
All right.
There's the Dauntless on the port bow. Keep her clear.
I can't breathe, sir. Something's happened.
What is it, man? What is it?
The tiller ropes must have burned away. The wheel's spinning. I can't steer her, sir.
All right. To the taffrail. Come on, jump!
Closed over me, and I felt panic as I struggled back to the surface. It was cold. I could see nothing in the darkness, with my eyes still dazzled by the roaring flames. Somebody splashed beside me.
Oh, Hornblower!
Oh, sorry.
They were following us in the boat to take us off.
Well, how'd they
get to us?
Can you swim?
Not very well, sir.
I can't either. Ahoy! Ahoy! Hand! Harvey! Ahoy!
Ahoy! Don't see him, sir.
Oh, where are they? Where are they?
Almost choking with water. They were both growing weaker. I wondered if he felt the same despair that I felt. And I suppose he did. For even captains of much seniority are only mortal men after all. How long we struggled side by side in the water until he spoke to me again, I don't know.
Oh, Hornblower!
Yes, sir?
The boat!
Where, sir?
They're there!
There!
Oh! Call them. I can't.
Ahoy! Boat! Ahoy!
They're headed towards us.
Yes, sir. Here they come.
Here it is. Hang onto the side.
Go ahead, sir.
Come on, you men up there. Lift me out.
Chief, don't. Don't, silly. I. Oh, God.
Now, haul out my young friend.
I felt hands on my arms, and the water fell away from me like a weight as they lifted me and dragged me over the stern. I fell face downward in the bottom of the boat, gasping for breath. I was conscious only of Captain Foster beside me. Then presently, for the first time, somebody in this boat spoke. I felt a cold shiver pass over my skin. The man was speaking in Spanish.
Están bien. Adelante con los remos.
Captain Foster.
I heard it all.
Captain Foster, sir, we're prisoners.
Are we indeed? We'll see about that. Come on, Holmes! Attack!
Aye, sir!
Going to land on the neutral ground and make for the Spanish borders.
That's their best chance. It's a dark night.
There are two other ships burning themselves out over there, sir.
There were three fire ships came in all, I think.
Well, that was my count, sir, three.
That means that none of them did any damage. Good. But a bold endeavor. Yes. Whoever would have credited the Dons with making such an attempt?
Well, they've learned about fire ships from us, perhaps, sir.
We may have nursed the pinion that impelled the steel, eh?
Well, it is possible, sir.
I suppose it is. Well, let's lean back, Hornblower. If we're to be prisoners, let's at least try to make ourselves comfortable.
Captain Foster was a cool enough customer, quoting poetry and discussing the naval situation while being carried off into captivity. I tried to emulate him, leaning back unconcernedly against the side of the boat. I would not have wanted Dreadnought Foster to realize that I was shivering from something other than the chilly wind. I wondered what hardships a prisoner of the Spaniards might have to undergo. Then suddenly, there was a voice, an English voice from across the water.
Hold ahoy!
There's our own boat, sir. Or a British guard boat.
About time.
Continue an hour. Ahoy! 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 Ahoy!
Ahoy! Ahoy! Ahoy! We'd best be quiet, Hornblower. He'll finish us if we're not.
Hold ahoy! Lay on your oars, or I'll fire into you.
Continue an hour!
Stop rowing! Or I'll ram you!
Continue an hour!
Ram us, Hammond! Ram us!
We surrender.
That's better. Sit down there in that boat. Drop your arm.
Give me a hand, Captain Foster. Jump in here.
Jump it is.
Now you, Mr. Midshipman.
Thank you, sir.
Are you all right, you two?
Why not?
I'm all right, sir.
Keep your gun trained on those Spaniards, Hammond, until I get into that boat. Then I'll keep a gun on them and make them follow.
Go ahead, Harvey.
All right. Pull away. I'll follow you with a prisoner. Pull oars. Thank God you're safe, Foster. And you too, of course, Mr. Hornblower.
No thanks to you, however, I might add, Captain Hammond.
After your fire ship cleared the Santa Barbara, a puff of wind took you on so fast, we couldn't keep up with you.
Most interesting, Captain Hammond.
It called for Spaniards to save us from drowning. I thought I could rely on two brother captains.
May I ask what you're implying, sir?
I make no implications, but others may read implications into a simple statement of fact.
I consider that an offensive remark, sir.
I congratulate you on your perspicacity, sir.
Apparently, I shall have to send a friend to wait on you, sir.
He will be welcome.
I sat amazed, listening to two British captains planning to duel with each other on top of everything that had happened. They didn't speak to each other again, and Foster came aft and sat beside me. For some time, we drifted along in silence, and my thoughts went to my interrupted examination for lieutenant. I had a wild hope. I had, after all, it seemed to me, behaved rather well that night, and Captain Foster was certainly in a position to know it. I had, as I say, a wild hope. And finally, Foster spoke to me.
Hornblower.
Aye, aye, sir.
I shall have much to do before morning. You, sir, Mr. Hornblower, will carry out my orders.
Aye, aye, sir.
These prisoners. I want you to find someone who can speak their lingo and have it explained to them that I shall send them back to Cartagena under cartel, free, without exchange. They saved our lives, and that's the least we can do in return.
I think that's very just, sir.
Hmm. And you, my fire-breathing friend. May I offer you my thanks?
Thank you, sir.
You did well. Should I live beyond tomorrow, I shall see that the proper authorities are informed of your worthy action.
Oh, thank you, sir. And, sir...
Well?
My examination for lieutenant, sir, my certificate,
That particular examining board will never reassemble, of course. You must wait your opportunity to go before another one.
But, sir, I thought possibly...
Well?
I thought, sir, that in view of all that's happened, you yourself, sir, said that I did all right tonight, sir, and I mean...
Now, looky here, Mr. Hornblower. The examination is a thing entirely separate from the events of this evening.
Yes, sir.
In the examination, to the best of my recollection, you were flat aback, about to lose your spars and with Dover Cliffs under your lee. In one more minute, you would have failed. It was the Spanish attack that saved you, isn't that so?
I suppose it is, quite so, sir.
Ah. Then be thankful for small mercies. And even more thankful for big ones, Mr. Hornblower.
Aye, aye, sir. I suppose you're right, sir, of course. I suppose that when I've acquired the viewpoint of a true Navy man more completely, well then, sir, I suppose I can fully realize when I look back that, well, on the whole, I was, well, a very fortunate midshipman tonight, sir.
Horatio Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.